Radio Prague News. The Czech Republic will provide technological equipment to Macedonia to help the country protect its border with Greece. Historian and Charter 77 spokesman Miloš Hájek has died. And in football, Sparta Prague has been drawn against Italy's Lazio in the last 16 of the Europa League. The Czech Republic will provide technological equipment such as radars and night vision devices to Macedonia to help the country protect its borders with Greece. Interior Minister Milan Chovanec made the announcement on Friday during a visit to the Vinojuk refugee camp on the border between Greece and Macedonia. The Czech government has already approved 20 million crowns to the Macedonia government to help it meet the extra costs of the immigration crisis. The government has also agreed to prolong the mission of Czech police officers to help the country deal with the ongoing immigration crisis in the Balkans. The help to bolster borders with Greece has been denounced by Athens as unfriendly. Historian and dissident Miloš Hájek died in Prague on Friday at the age of 94. Mr. Hájek was a signatory of Charter 77 and eventually became its spokesman in 1988. He was also among the people to attend the now legendary breakfast at the French Embassy in Prague in December 1988, when Václav Havel and other dissidents met the then French President François Mitterrand. In 1995, he was recognized as one of the righteous among the nations for his efforts to save people from the Holocaust. He was also awarded a Medal of Merit in 2001 at Prague Castle. Prague City Hall has voted in favor of renovating the Libeň Bridge, which has been described as the sole Cubist-style bridge in the world, to its original condition. Prague deputies originally suggested other options such as massive restoration, including enlargement of the bridge or even its demolition. But the proposals met with massive protests from local people and conservationists. Steps are now being taken for the bridge, designed by architect Pavel Janák in the late 1920s, to be declared a cultural monument. Miners' unions on Friday decided to widen their strike alert from the Paskov mine, which is slated for closure before the end of the year, to the whole of the OKD mining company. The head of the Association of Mining Unions, Jaromír Pitlík, told the Czech television on Friday. The unions are threatening to strike over the lack of a social program to help laid-off miners. They also complain about the lack of information from the management. Paskov belongs to the OKD mining company, which is in severe financial difficulties and has announced the planned closure of three mines. In football, Sparta Prague has been drawn against Italy's Lazio in the last 16 of the Europa League. On Thursday night, Sparta beat Russian opponents Krasnodar 3-0 in the away tie to go through to the quarterfinals of the Europa League for the first time with a 4-0 score on aggregate. All Sparta's goals came in the second half with Marecek, Friedek and Fataj finding the net. I'm Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, a new campaign is recalling dramatic communist-era escapes to highlight the plight of present-day refugees. The city of Prague has voted for a controversial partnership agreement with Beijing. Then, in the second half of the program, stay tuned for another edition of The Arts about how Czech designers have won an award at the International Fashion Showcase in London. A new campaign launched by the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees called We Ourselves Were Refugees is attempting to show that the current refugee crisis at its heart is no different from when people in the former communist bloc tried to escape to freedom. Print, radio and video clips retell dramatic escapes from the past, including that of a man who got out of Czechoslovakia with his little boy in 1988. A little earlier, I spoke to Kristina Andrelova of the UN's Czech branch, asking about the campaign.
The campaign itself is a reaction to the current debate in the Czech society, which is really huge. And we try to raise awareness that once people are forced to run for their lives, they have no other choice. And we also want to say that refugee issue is not new to the Czech Republic or former Czechoslovakia, that during our rich history, we've had a lot of experience with refugees, and we were refugees ourselves once, and not very long ago, actually. So we have a lot of experience, and we have something to offer now, and we should not forget about that.
Would you agree then that the campaign is kind of a reminder, perhaps for people to appeal to their better nature, given that some of the discourse has turned rather ugly, and not just among segments of the population, but among politicians themselves, to remind them that we were in this kind of situation not that long ago?
It is a sort of reminder, but we don't want to tell people that they should be or shouldn't be in favor. I think that people should just look at the topic more rationally, actually, and understand in a way that it has existed and it exists here, and we know how to deal with those issues, and we've always offered protection to people who need it and our assistance. So actually, what has changed? Not much has changed.
The campaign has focused on personal stories. The story of Josef Hlavatý, who was a 24-year-old who escaped in 1988 from communist Czechoslovakia in very dramatic fashion. How did you sort of settle upon this story? I imagine there must have been hundreds that could have been told.
The company we cooperate with, Young and Trubikem, this was their idea, and they were also looking for remarkable cases of very brave Czechoslovak people who decided to flee, no matter what the, you know, what the way or what the circumstances would be. This was one of the cases.
At the time, he did escape using a kind of homemade hang glider. And what makes it even more powerful, of course, is that he took his 3-year-old son with him.
Yes.
Have you had reaction to this part of the campaign so far?
The reactions are mixed, of course. I think that positive reactions prevail. Some people say that the situation has changed, that it's different. Maybe the circumstances have changed, but the principles of international protection and refugee protection are still the same. We should not forget about this.
And that was Kristina Anderlova of the UNHCR's Czech branch talking to me about a new campaign focusing on the plight of refugees and how they should be helped. Next up, the Czech capital Prague has voted to become a sister city of the Chinese capital Beijing. The agreement covers a series of areas of cooperation, but also includes a controversial clause recognizing the concept of one China. Chris Johnston has more.
The running to finalise a sister city agreement was mostly made by the Chinese side since the summer of last year. And on Thursday, it was sealed when 35 members of the Prague City Assembly out of 65 voted in favour of the agreement. The council's executive had only a few days earlier rejected the move. Prague has a lot to gain from the connection with 22 million strong Beijing. The agreement covers exchanges and cooperation over tourism, culture, education, transport and urban development. But Clause 3 of the proposed text obliges Prague to recognise the principle of one China and includes a line that Taiwan is an inalienable part of Chinese territory. At a protest meeting in Prague's Wenceslas Square later on Thursday night, the timing of Prague's decision on the 68th anniversary of the takeover of power in Czechoslovakia by the Communist Party in 1948 was pointed out. Speakers also questioned where the line would be drawn in fostering closer and more profitable political and economic relations with China. Although a reshaped Czech foreign policy has already accepted the One China policy with regards to both Taiwan and Tibet, the move by Prague is nonetheless a step too far for some leading members of the council. One of those opposed to the new agreement was former city executive member and recently elected Green Party leader Matěj Stropnický.
The other side, that is the representatives of the city of Beijing, are demanding that in a city-to-city agreement, national and historical issues are dealt with. I don't think that this belongs in a partnership agreement. If one side, that is the city of Beijing, insists that one of the points in a five-point agreement is a declaration by Prague about one China and that Taiwan is an inseparable part of the territory of China, I do not think that this is a good start to a partnership. Partnerships should not include ultimatums, especially not at the start.
Stropnitsky said he tried without success to push through a motion getting rid of the controversial clause in the agreement. He said Prague council members voting in favour of the sister city status appeared to fear the consequences of promised Chinese investments in the Czech capital drying up if the deal was not signed with the One China clause. It's not quite clear yet when the five-year cooperation deal will be finally signed by mayors of Prague and Beijing, but the most likely date would be in March, when Chinese President Xi Jinping is due to visit Prague and the mayor of Beijing, Wang Yanshun, is expected to be in the delegation.
Chris Johnston, that story. And how do you feel about the latest news of cooperation on this level between Prague and Beijing? If you have an opinion you'd like to express, please write to english@radio.cz. Now it's time, though, for today's main feature. Czech fashion designers from Prague's Academy of Fine Arts and Graphic Design, or UMPRUM, headed by curator Pavel Ivančić, won the main prize this week at London's International Fashion Showcase. The Czech installation, titled Last Fata Morgana, is the work of seven designers. We discuss some of it with Alexandra Strelcová, a PR and communications consultant working closely with Czech Centre London. I began by asking her about the reaction to the big win.
I'm really happy that the Czech fashion has been sort of internationally recognized, as Pavel Ivančić, the curator, said. This success has actually finally put Czech fashion onto the international fashion map. You know, hopefully all these efforts will eventually, Czech designers will have more international opportunities and that they will eventually be more internationally recognized.
Even the students, but also the graduates, they're not exactly newcomers. They are already very well experienced on the international scene. Who are some of the designers who took part? And afterwards, perhaps we could talk about some of the work or some of the themes.
There are no newcomers, actually. Four of them, they have been nominated for the Czech Grand Design Award. And as of today, I can confirm that Sofia Samareva, who was one of the designers who makes awesome, spectacular rabbit fur hats, she actually is among the very final shortlist of designers who will then compete for the Czech Grand Design Award. She sort of combines millinery design with hair sculptures. I think she is one of the sort of very emerging stars of Czech fashion design. Other designers featured Filip Jakub, who is sort of a mastermind of very sensual dresses, very wearable as well as very romantic. His designs were extremely prized also by a member of Not Just the Label platform, which is a very acclaimed platform for independent fashion here in London. Markéta Kratochvílová, who combines sort of jewelry with women's underwear in some sort of very bitstrish, sexy, but very sensual way as well. Teresa Rosalie Kladošová, who specializes in embroidery and weaving, in a very idiosyncratic way. Karolina Juříková, who actually worked for Camper for a bit, and who sort of revived 1960s, 70s typical technique, which is called Art Protest. She sort of took it from that tradition and now designs very wearable, beautiful dresses.
Pavel Ivančić is quoted as kind of describing the key criteria that the fashion should be unpretentious, that it should be experimental. Did audiences get the sense that each of these designers in their own way was kind of pushing the envelope, doing new things, combining old and new elements to sort of come up with original work? Were some of the comments appreciative of that fact?
After the award ceremony, I actually spoke to Mandy Leonard, who is she's a fashion specialist. She has one of the most acclaimed PR agencies specialized in fashion. She was actually one of the jurors that decided who was going to take the award, and she said that she especially praised the pureness of the installation, also the individual design. That being said, what Pavel Ivančić as the curator actually aimed to convey is the message that their work is individual, but they have is based on some sort of collective background. As the name says, this is the last Fata Morgana, the last generation of designers who are, you know, they're not sort of burdened by the socialist, you know, like by the sort of pre-89 mindset anymore. You know, they have a very successful collaborations with international, very, very renowned international brands. They are some sort of a new generation of emerging talents that are actually able to make it internationally, not just locally, but the local message is still present and it's still there and it's becoming very successfully recognized.
You mentioned the title. Does it have other connotations as well?
I think that also goes back to the message of Czech centrists that are sort of championing Czech culture abroad, and more specifically Czech Center London and its director Teresa Porebna, who actually specializes, like her, or like the Czech Center London's foremost specializations right now is fashion. And because this is, Czech fashion is something that is maybe not internationally recognized still, as you know, yet it's something that Czech Republic is basically not one of the countries that you think of instantly when you say fashion. I think that now it's really interesting to see that designers who have been actually born after 89, how they can sort of bear with their nation's past, but also with their own future.
How does the International Fashion Showcase fit in within London Fashion Week in general? Like, what is the sort of scope or angle of it, or how important is it within the event as a whole?
The International Fashion Showcase is organized by the British Fashion Council and the British Council. It's a sort of gathering of international fashion in London during the London Fashion Showcase. It is an official event of London Fashion Week. However, it takes place in a different location than the London Fashion Week itself. This year, the International Fashion Showcase took place in the beautiful settings of the Somerset House by the River Thames, while the London Fashion Week and, you know, the showrooms and the catwalks and everything that's happening is taking place or was taking place in the International Fashion Showcase this year, featured 24 countries presenting, you know, their sort of best breed of fashion design, featuring Portugal, Ukraine, and Slovakia was present as well with a beautiful installation and digital book, which was acclaimed by many visitors as well.
My last question has to do with what is next for the last Fata Morgana, specifically plans for it to be shown in Prague, which is significant for people here, obviously.
Exactly. Last Fata Morgana is moving to Prague. And I can't confirm the date yet, but it's happening in the last half of April in Galeria Smečky. Czech visitors will be able to have a look at these award-winning designs, as well as some sort of extended collaboration with photographers that actually took part. We've had, for the catalogue, we've had beautiful photographs from Karin Zabrik, but also I think I can now reveal that it will feature some sort of other collaborations as well.
That was Alexandra Strelcová, PR and communications consultant working closely with Czech Center London, ending that edition of The Arts, looking at the recent big win by Czech designers at the International Fashion Showcase in London. That brings us to the end of today's program, but a quick reminder, you'll find many more stories, news items, features in both sound and text at our website, radio.cz. I'm Jan Wellinger. For myself and for the rest of the Radio Prague team, thank you so much for joining us, and take care.